Welcome to episode 232 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1 Corinthians 13.
If I speak with the languages of men and of angels, but don't have love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but don't have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burned, but don't have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient and is kind. Love doesn't envy. Love doesn't brag, is not proud, doesn't behave itself inappropriately, doesn't seek its own way, is not provoked, takes no account of evil, doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will be done away with. Where there are various languages, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will be done away with. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is complete has come, then that which is partial will be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I felt as a child. I thought as a child. Now that I have become a man, I have put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then, face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, even as I was also fully known. But now faith, hope, and love remain, these three. The greatest of these is love.
If it's Tuesday, it's time for another top 10 list.
Today's top 10 list.
10 powerful lessons about love from 1 Corinthians.
Number 1.
Love is about action, how a person lives for the Lord and obeys Him, and how a person lives for others and serves them. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 14. Let all that you do be done in love. Love is expressed in the keeping of God's commandments, making sacrifices by meeting the needs of others, being generous with one's time, helping financially, and serving others when and as needed.
Number 2.
Love is about being. Its foundation is in God, who is love, and in Christ, who shows that love. It is because being and actions are so closely tied together in God and in Christ first, but then also in His people, that Paul calls love a more excellent way in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31.
Number 3.
Love is countercultural. Modern love is selfish, disposable, and conditional. It is often about text messages, memes, Instagram posts, Snapchats, hookup apps, and surface-level connections. For some, it is about speed dating, giving up when things get hard, ghosting, and canceling. Often, it is like a YouTube video. People want to skip to the best parts and move on. Human beings fall in and out of love. Paul's description of the action and behavior produced by love is distinctly countercultural. It speaks against the envy, pride, and self-centeredness of the Corinthian Christians, and in doing so, speaks clearly to our own generation as well.
Number 4.
Love is not soft. Many see love as little more than an attitude of niceness to everyone. This means that any dispute, any strong speaking over important matters, and any firm spiritual discipling or disciplining of another is to be regarded as unloving. In some churches, this has even led to a watered-down Christian faith being preached with little emphasis on holiness, lest some should feel condemned or unloved. One myth is that love will tolerate all things, promote all things, and deny nothing, but Paul says that love does not rejoice in evil or wrongdoing.
Number 5.
True love is grounded in truth. Love without truth has no character. Truth without love has no power. When separated one from another, either virtue is nothing more than mere pretense. Love deprived of truth deteriorates into self-love. Truth divorced from love breeds self-righteousness. Love is glad when truth is spoken. In so many of our relationships, we seek to protect those whom we love from the truth. Such thinking shows a lack of faith. In John 8, verse 32, Jesus says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." How many of our relationships have been constrained, have been shackled, have been unfulfilled because they have not been shaped by truth? When Paul tells us that true love rejoices in the truth, he also means that we ought to be glad about behavior in accordance with the truth of God's word.
Number 6.
Love builds up. In 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1, Paul writes, "Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up." When Paul speaks of building up the church or the body, he thinks of love in action in the community.
Number 7.
Love is enduring. One songwriter says, "Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me." That is true. It is also true that this is the love that we are called to demonstrate.
Number 8.
God is the object of love. In 1 Corinthians 8, verse 3, Paul tells us that God is the object of love, and when we love God, he rewards us. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, Paul asserts that it has been written that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him.
Number 9.
Love is a marker of our Christianity. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12, Paul writes that love for God, rather than wisdom or knowledge, is evidence of having not received the spirit of the world, rather we have received the spirit of God. The true believer is one who imitates Christ, and Christ stands as a supreme example of love through the whole of his life, but especially in his death. In 1 Corinthians 1, the death of Christ is at the center of Paul's understanding of God's wisdom, his plan to save his people. It is the word of the cross that is the power of God to those being saved.
Number 10.
We haven't seen anything yet. Toward the end of 1 Corinthians 13, Paul asserts that we know only in part. However, when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part will be done away. He adds that now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Ancient mirrors weren't the silvered glass beauties that we have today. Polished copper or bronze mirrors dating back to 3000 BC were owned by the wealthy. If you were poor, you could see your reflection in the water of a vessel or in a pool. Either way, the reflection was indirect and indistinct, nothing compared to the clarity of viewing a person directly face to face. The expression face to face, however, is more than just an expression of clarity versus a poor reflection. It is used in the Old Testament to express Moses' intimate, direct vision of God himself. Numbers 12, verse 8. "With Moses I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord." It is that direct, face-to-face encounter of the presence of God that Paul is talking about. It will take place at a time when we have full, complete knowledge. Paul then adds in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12, "Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." There are dimensions to love that we cannot even fathom. Ancient Greek philosophers identified 6 forms of love: familial, platonic or friendly, romantic, self-love, hospitality, and divine love, agape. But the principles described by Paul, especially in 1 Corinthians 13, are applicable to each of these forms of love. Think about how much stronger our relationships with spouses, family members, friends, co-workers, neighbors, strangers would be if we were more patient, kinder, less envious, less boastful, less proud, less rude, less irritable, less petty. Think about a world in which we sought to protect, in which we always believed, always hoped, never failed. A world in which we did not insist on our own way, did not seek to satisfy self, but sought to serve others. Father, as we receive your love, may we always seek to live in and share that love with everyone we meet. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.